live now.
All right.
Everybody get ready.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. And yours truly is here. And I want to do something special. Can I do it, Terry?
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed.
Tamika, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Just a minute. Okay, good, good. You mind if I start off with just something? I always like to obey the Holy Spirit, and He gave me the setup within the last 3 minutes to do this. And so tell me if this is all right.
Lord, if I favor in your sight, Lord, please, give my heart. I'm desperately waiting to see where you are. Across the hottest desert, I'm traveling up for your glory. I will do it.
Go ahead and get a sound off first, ladies first. Tamika, give them a little bit of knowledge about who you are.
Hi, everyone. I am Tamika V, co-host of CFN Inset. Hi, guys.
Hi, hi, hi.
Hello.
Terry McGee, would you give them a shout out about who you are, and we're going to get started. I'm excited about what we're going to talk about tonight.
Awesome, awesome. Terry McGee, the host of the Simply Inspiring Show. Content creator of the short film No Warning Left, and just an honored servant of God.
You want to give us a little bit more about when the next one's going to be? Can we get the scoop on the next No Warning Left film?
I'm writing it now. Every chance I get, I truly, truly hope to have that ready to go by Christmas. I think it'll be an awesome time to do it. You know, looking at the sign of the times, I think I need to be expedient and get this out quickly. So we're looking at hopefully no later than the end of this year.
Sounds good.
Amen.
And Tamika, now you know I've got to come back to you. Now, you don't have to tell everything, but you want to give a little insight on what God is doing with you and your ministry and your what God has given you. It's so beautiful. I know you can't tell it in its totality. But give us just a little bit, even if it's just an encouraging word for somebody who's wondering, you know, what's going on in my life? And, you know, when is it going to turn? Give us that.
Most definitely. Well, God has truly been the author of my life, of my walk. I can't thank Him enough. As of yesterday, I am now an ordained evangelist. Just moving in God, and it's all about Him reaching His people, and He chose me to be able to go out without fear and to allow Him to use me with His people. He's opening doors left and right for my company, Blessed Entertainment, where I market and promote and now really heavy into films. financing and he's
awesome.
just opening doors for his for his people that are really about his business, and he's trying to reach those that are lost. And so, you know, I thank God because he put me in position for these things to happen so that other doors can be opened and other people that are going through their destinies can truly move into what God is needing them to do for the kingdom. So I thank God that he's using me with Blessed Entertainment and building new alliances. I thank God for Entertainment Media, Terry, man, if you only knew how all yeah. this began. You know, it is truly a testament to where we are now with CFN and how God is truly moving. So I would most definitely tell someone that, you know, who is going through a walk and not knowing the way or the direction of how to move within God is to just first seek him. And talk to him and let him know, you know, that you give it all to him. You just let go and you let God and then watch him move mm-hmm. on your behalf. Then he will begin to line things up, but the only thing that we have to do is we have to get out of self and
yes.
we have to get into the spirit so that we can hear, move, and see by it. And when we are moving and seeing by it, we can literally see those doors begin to open. So that's where he has me. I walk this calling that he's placed on my life, and I do it without fear. I just he says go, I say okay. So I truly, truly thank God for where he has me today in this walk.
And it's a beautiful place
Amen.
That we are in, you know, Terry, with what he and what he's going to be doing, you know, with CFN Radio and also with Tamika, what she's going to be doing with the Inset and her own ministry in her own life with Blessed Entertainment. And, also, and I forgot to mention, and I think he did mention, the Inspiring Show and where God's going to take it. And I think it all was birthed out of the things we went through last year, previous years, that, you know, God was really birthing something in us that was going to expand into something for his kingdom like never before. And we mm-hmm. call this a state of the CFN Inset address, but it's more than that. It's the state of the ministries that I believe that God is calling forth in the last days that we're in. And I sent you guys just the captions of some of the things I wanted to talk about, but we're going to mention the things even more specifically as far as our ministries and what God is doing. But I shared this with Terry, and I shared with Tamika what God has led me to do as far as the radio network and the TV network is that, you know, he wants me to reach out in my own specific ministry to the lost. And I think that you alluded to that, Tamika, that, you know, we spend so much time within the church, in the church environment. There's nothing wrong with that. Let me start and preface it,
right.
what we're saying with that. There's nothing wrong with the church. God has ordained the church. God has put in order the things in the church that needs to be there. But I was wondering, all my adult ministry, I didn't feel comfortable where I was, and I thought something's wrong with me. Somebody might really mm-hmm. experience it when you've been preaching, you know, or you might have been singing, or you've been worshiping, and there's nothing wrong with those vehicles for us to find out who we are, you know, and to be strengthened in our own anointings. But I found out, Michael, your preaching platform is different than everybody else's. And I can't speak to Terry and Tamika, but I'll tell you this. I know like I know like I know down, and I always say down in my shot, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Is to create mm-hmm. platforms and encourage and give platforms to people that are reaching the lost. And there's churches out there for us to go in and get encouraged, and we get our exhortation, we get our marching orders, us from God. But man, when God laid it on me, he said, get out there, and they're not going to like you. You know, and the sad part, Terry, to make it, some of the church not going to like us when we get to doing what we're called to do. Because we're doing the right that are calling people to action. We're bringing, just like Jesus did. Jesus, he spent a significant amount of time interacting in positive ways with people who disagreed with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
But he stayed
right
there. He didn't isolate them. You know, he didn't isolate them at all, right? He didn't say, okay,
right.
Now get away from me. Because you don't agree with what I'm saying. But when you are dissonance in the midst of people that God sets you in front of, and he gives you a compassion for, you can't walk away.
That's right.
And I was reading
right.
I was reading this, and this is This is out of lead, like Jesus, not just one of those books. He said he did not isolate himself from those who disagreed with him. He embraced those who disagreed. He did not change his message to gain approval. Terry, you know, we're on that one. We don't change our message.
Mm-hmm.
We just keep going.
That's right.
He continued to love those who did not accept his message.
Mm-hmm.
And his prayer was in Luke 14:1-4. It says, one Sabbath when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. And Jesus asked the Pharisees, you know, if Jesus was smart, but he knew these. You know, when you're talking to lawyers, you know, they're thinking only in legalese. And he knew this.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked the Pharisees and experts of the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? They didn't say a word. Why didn't he say anything, guys? This is Jesus asking the people that disagree with him, is it lawful for me to heal on the Sabbath or not? That's a powerful question. And what a wonderful platform for us to come in, Terry and Tamika, and ask those questions for those that's in the world. And one thing, I'm going to let y'all start talking on this as well, because I just got just a mic speak. Remember I shared this on the show with Pastor Bill Jenkins last week, that some of the things that we're going to say to people that say they're an atheist, I said, God, what do I say to people like that? Because sometimes God gives us direction. Remember Pastor Bill said, but he don't give us all the stuff that go in front of him. He just gives us, okay, go here, and I'll give it to you when you get there or on your way. What do you tell, Terry, an atheist to say? They say they don't believe in God. And I asked God, what do I say to them? He said, tell them it's already within them.
It is.
They're just disagreeing with it, but it's there, right? Go ahead, Terry.
God put that in everybody. When he abolished the law, he said, I'm going to write my laws on their hearts. It's in them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just who they ran into first that told them something about creation.
Mm-hmm.
If their first interaction about creation was with a scientist, well, then that's probably what they were going to believe. And most of them grew up in homes that didn't believe or follow God. But right now, I'm studying prophecy really, really deep. And the thing about it is, when I run across atheists, a lot of the ones that want to prove the Bible wrong, do you know that when they start on that trek, a lot of them become Christians because they start reading the Bible, and that's where we error. That's where the flaw is right there. We're not reading the Bible. We're having things dictated and told to us, and nobody is vetting anybody. You know, so when the scientists came out and said the world is millions of years old, how can they prove it? I mean, nobody even asked. You know, they said we evolved from monkeys. Well, how come I can go to the zoo right now and still see monkeys? But everything, like I said, I'm studying prophecy, and everything that I've studied in prophecy is real. You can go back in history, our history books, and use it, and it proves the Bible is correct. It's never changed its philosophy. It's never changed.
That's right.
Nothing in it like other religions. They've changed the dates of a lot of their prophecies because it didn't happen. Because you know why?
Right.
Because it wasn't given of divine authority.
Right. Chime in on that if you would.
Tamika, I ain't gonna take up the whole time, y'all.
Oh no,
you're
good.
Because watching.
Oh, no,
come on.
Terry.
You're
good. You on it?
That
I'm
was solid.
Good. You were right. You know, they did start off just to try to prove it wrong. You have to start off to reading it in order to debunk the belief. But like I was telling Michael, I know, and you know, a person who converted from Christianity to atheism wasn't because he was born into it; it was because he married into it, and but this particular person, when God puts people in your life, even if it's just for a small season, it's going to come back around and you're going to figure out why.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular person just so happened to be, after I found him on a social site, reached out, and the first thing that was said was, oh, oh my goodness, do you know how to reach a certain pastor? You know, I was there when he preached his first message.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to see himself preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And his, you know, his message. And even though at this point he had been married to this, you know, this lady for some years, but when he spoke to me, the God in him, the spirit in him,
I love it,
rose up. And
let me ask you a question on that. Let me ask you a question now. And that's seed time and harvest. I just love it. He was a Christian. He got called to the ministry, and you were there when he preached his first message. Somewhere
yes.
along the way, he fell in love with this atheist. And, of course, some people adapt
mm-hmm.
because when you married to someone that have different beliefs, and we know throughout the Bible, you take on their spirits. You take on their beliefs. You take
right.
on some of their attributes. And so, but something down on the inside of him never forgot. He was professing himself as an atheist. But when he got
mm-hmm.
in touch with you, he remembered. He said, I'm trying to get in touch.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear that message. I want to hear that message. He was longing for the fire of God that was on the inside of him
mm-hmm.
back then, something to be rekindled.
Right.
I love it.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I said. To God be the glory.
Yes,
because,
to God be the
you
glory.
Know, when he said, oh, yeah, I'm an atheist now. And I was like, wow. You know, one thing that you don't do is you don't judge them. You know, because
right.
neither one of us have a
that's
heaven
right.
or hell to put anybody in. But the only
that's
thing
correct.
You can say is, well, I'm praying for you, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm always here. You don't, you know, separate yourself, because, see, those are the ones that really need to hear.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that need to be reminded. So even if, you know, I'll be like, well, have a blessed day. And he'll be like, well, God bless you. And, oh, I read this. You know, like, I'll look and I'll see something in my message from him, and it's talking about a scripture. That's right, God.
Mm.
Do your thing.
Do your
thing. So you're
thing.
Right.
Yes,
The word of the Lord is written on their hearts. And
Terry
right. is
right.
There may have been some that were raised in a home that, you know, that neither one of the parents believed.
Mm-hmm.
So they had
yeah.
no choice but to go by what, you know, what was being taught in the home. That's
mm-hmm.
what they picked up, and that's all they know. But then you got those that, you know, the test comes is when you got to pick up that Bible so you can debunk and tell us that what you believe is right. You got to go and read it. They know the Bible better than most Christians do.
You know,
that's
there,
right.
there's two people that's listening
that word
tonight.
Is in there.
There's two people that's listening tonight, if you don't mind me speaking by revelation. There are two people listening tonight. One is in that situation where they were taught what they believe from their home, and they carried it into their adulthood, and they're listening and they're questioning now. Second
mm-hmm.
person was told to be against a certain race of people, and they're struggling
mm-hmm.
right now in their spirit. And they're a little angry and miffed at what we're talking about, but they're still listening. And I'm going to encourage you to keep listening, because you're learning. Sometimes we have to unlearn things that were taught to us to really get down
yeah.
and bear down. I forgot the word that you used, but get down to the truth, to debunk. That's the word you used, to debunk
mm-hmm.
the things that were told us that we accepted without searching. You know, because we're living in a climate right now where people could hear something on the internet or see something on TV, and they believe it without searching. They don't do any research. They don't do any studying. And what does the Bible say about study, guys? Study to what?
Study to
show yourself. Show yourself.
Minister Johnson.
Yes, sir.
The thing to say on both those accounts is both of those happen the exact same way. It's both are it's taught. You're not that neither is natural behavior. You're taught. People are taught to, hey, if you can behave like that, you can take babies of all different races and raise them up together without any adult interference. They'll be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get along with each other.
Yeah.
They won't have any problem. It's when this stuff is taught on both
mm-hmm.
of them. And that's why, you know, I've taken on an assignment, which is why I think it came full circle to me coming back to CFN. You know,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to the Bible,
Yes.
I work with atheists. I work with atheists. You know, and the first thing that they always refer to is the fact they go to the stories. Well, how can a human live in a big fish for 3 days? See, they always go to the big stories. And if you don't understand the little stories, you'll never understand the big ones. You have to understand that the Bible is real. And last Saturday, I started something that I hope that God allows me to do every Saturday, is I go in and I use the Bible and history to prove that the Bible is real.
Right.
And so I did that last Saturday, you know, so they can go to YouTube and go to the Simply Inspiring YouTube page and look at the one that I put down out. The Bible is real and Jesus is coming back in three prophetic days. That that title is to get them in there so they can listen to the whole thing, because once you understand how the Bible was written, God gave prophets bits and bits and pieces. He gave to each and every one of them. And he said, in the last generation, you guys are going to be able to decode this stuff and understand exactly what it means.
Exactly.
And so when people don't, when people don't understand the Bible, I guarantee you, when you talk to them, the first thing they're going to go to, they're going to go to the big stories. I don't believe a whale or big fish swallow somebody for 3 days, and I don't believe in Noah's Ark, which Noah's Ark was found in mountains of Arafat, I believe is where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
You can Google it. They found it. They found the ark.
The ark
is real.
They found the ark.
It's been found. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's proven.
It's been found.
Everything that's
in
the scripture is proven.
Yes.
So, I was thinking along the lines. Go ahead. Finish your thought. Yes.
I'll say between what we are putting our heads together here for this reemergence of CFN is to prove this stuff, that it's real, and to save souls and bring them to the Lord. That's what we're going.
That's
our mission.
That's our mission. And you know what? And I don't. When I say this, I don't mean it in the sense of when I say. But it's not like Farrakhan's or it's what you call that religion. Islam. When I say by any means necessary in the spirit, when I say that, by any means necessary that God will give us as force the tools in the spirit, because the scripture says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violence taken by force. And many people, they can interpret that different ways, but God allows us to be vigilant. God allows us to battle in the spirit. God allows us to take territories. And so I believe that CFN has been on all the fronts, have been anointed to take territories, and God's going to do it supernatural, not through our own wisdom, but so we can talk and say how good I am. You know, we have this story, though, I was talking about, and I sent to you guys in Luke, the 22nd chapter, and starts around the 26th verse, where it says, but it's not this way with you, but the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest. For us to accomplish what we're going to accomplish, we've got to serve people. We got to love them even though they hate us. We got to love them even though they disagree with us. And we got to love.
Right.
What did Pastor Bill say? Love the hell out of them. You got to love the hell out of people.
Yeah.
Love the atheist
out
of people. You know, you got to do it. You got to push through. There's too many revelations of people that stood against the grain and stood, and then that's how you birth things from the spirit realm of the kingdom of heaven onto the earth. We pray this all the time, and a lot of people in church, we sing it, we worship God with beautiful worship songs, but when it comes to the time of pushing, when it comes to the time of standing, when it seems like we're the only one standing against the grain, that shows us, and God put that in us as a measurement, this is where you are, really. When you begin to doubt right in the midst of stuff, that shows you, okay, I need to get in the word more. Not get in the word more. Not start letting doubt take over. Trials let us know where we are. And I know you guys can bear witness to this. Definitely you turn from what I know of you. When you go through the roughest point of your life where the enemy is trying to strangle hold you or sift you as wheat, he'll use the people closest to you to do it. The ones you love the most, he'll use against you to get your head out of place.
Exactly.
Tamika, if he can get your head out of place, you don't walk in your vision. You don't walk in your purpose.
Exactly.
Because you're caught up in your emotions. Go, y'all speak to that one. I'm gonna let y'all go because I can run 100 miles a minute on that one. Go ahead.
But that's so true, though. I mean, that's what's happening right now. It's like, you know, some people, if you don't have that relationship, the Father, if you don't have that relationship with Him, I'm not talking about the religion. I'm talking about the relationship. If you don't have that relationship with Him, that where you're spending that quality time with Him, you're doting on Him like He dotes on you, you know. If you don't have that relationship with Him, and when the test comes, because they're gonna come, so when the test comes, when that trial comes, when Satan is pushing and priming and pushing and priming, if you don't have that relationship, then you're living in carnal.
Yeah,
and if you're living
right.
in carnal, you're letting all the worry, and you're letting all the stress, and you're letting all those inside cancers begin to build up, to where that you don't even know how to get out of the situation. But why? Because you are not focused in on the relationship with the Father. If you focus in on the relationship with the Father, you'll be like, when Satan comes and when it gets hard and he sends your family and your friends to and he uses them to try to push you out of that square. See, when it happens to me, this is what, see, when the light bulb went out, it was just like, oh, thank you, Lord, because now I know. And those, when your eyes open up, it's like the scales, like you know how a snake has those scales on his eyes. And when he goes through that transformation, those scales fall off. It's like when the scales fell off, it was like, man. And then things just started coming at me left and right, left and right. I went through a lot last week. But God, and right, they are coming. And I said, Lord, I thank you, and Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Because the harder you were pushing,
Let me do this real quick. This is what you had to do. When the lights went off, unscrew that light bulb.
Come on,
take it out
and put in another one. That's right.
Okay, but can I
unscrew that light bulb and put in another one.
There we go.
But that's what happens is that when he pushes on us that hard, that's when the blessing is right there. When he pushes that hard and he's egging at you left and right, it's like punching you in your face left and right. He's pushing you that hard. If you hold on just a little while longer, if you hold on, that ram is already there. God has already put the ram in that bush. But Satan is trying to push you because he don't want you to get to that ram. He don't want you to see it.
Right.
He wants to keep you in that mindset of nothing's going to happen, I'm not going to be saved from this situation. He wants to keep you there so you can fail the test and you got to start it all over.
But when you got it,
and he's pushing and priming, and all you saying is, thank you, Jesus, for the outcome. Thank you, Jesus, for the ram. Thank you, Jesus, because this situation is already over. Thank you, Jesus, because I know that it's already done, and I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to keep on praising you no matter how hard he pushed.
Amen. There we go. That's what I'm talking about.
And
that's
then
what I
when he's done, you got to put that praise on it. Just
that's
like that song,
yes.
Put that praise on it. When you
put that praise on it,
and when he's done, you wake up, guess what happens? That very next second, there goes your blessing. Doors are opening left and right. You pass that test. Mm. It's almost as if God says, ding, 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 you pass. Okay, it's time
for next. Hold on.
But
Here you go.
Hey.
That's what you made me go to. This time we gotta get in that fireplace.
Come on now. That's right.
Got it.
Hey. All right.
Glory. This time we gotta go there.
He's gonna pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
But by every spiritual mean necessary. And that's what you made me put that song on, because somebody needs to dance their way through a situation just like David danced when everything was against him. His wife was against him. Said, what are you doing acting a fool out there? Look at you. What'd you get your butt all up in this house? He said, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Let me get a little bit more wilder in my dance, because I'm dancing for my God. I was listening to one of the YouTube things from what's the guy that was from the Church of God in Christ? When he was talked about, he was one of the bishops there, the head bishop. He said when she looked down on him and was disgusted with him, he saw that look. He said, "Oh, you're gonna watch me dance even wilder now." And that's what you get. You just led me into that place when I know it's the enemy, and I know you're trying me, and I know you're teasing me, and I know you're trying to get my gold, G-O-A-D, y'all, not gold, G-O-L-D. When I know it's you trying to come at me with everything you got, I'm going to give everything I got because that's what I'm required to do. That's my reasonable service. It's not, I'm not doing God a favor. I'm showing him how faithful I am because he's faithful to me. And I'm going to shout and I'm going to sing and I'm going to preach and I'm going to teach. I'm going to evangelize. I'm going to tell somebody that needs to know, even when they don't believe me and when they hate me for saying it, I'm going to be the one that I might be disagreeable to them, but I'm standing there with that constancy. Because one of these days, God, they're going to lift their hands. He said, every knee shall bow. Y'all don't hear me. See, you just made one preach.
Come on now.
You should have left me alone. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess.
Everyone,
atheist, your
confess.
Tongue is going to confess. The
everyone
one
confess.
That's so filled with hatred, you were taught that, but you're going to confess. Did you even do it just legally right here now, where, as you receive the Holy Spirit telling you what these people are saying is right? I've been taught this stuff. Or there's going to be one day that you're going to literally bow and say, yep, he is Lord. Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Y'all better take this thing because I can run and preach this.
I tell you what, I almost want to just stop using the word that I'm a Christian and just change it to I'm a Bible-believing follower of Christ, because nowadays everybody's a Christian and everybody's doing everything. You can't even tell a line between Christianity and non-believers anymore. And that's what's hurting the non-believers, is they're watching Christians do what they do. And everything I do, I have to ask, if I do anything in front of anybody, I have to ask myself, am I representing Jesus right now? And if the answer is no, I may have lost a soul, because they might have been on the edge that particular day and want to come talk to me, but before they got to me, they seen me do something that, well, wait a minute, this guy, he's a Christian, so he's doing the same thing I'm doing, so I guess I'm a Christian too. You know, when you got the president of the United States get up there and say he's a Christian, and Hillary say she's a Christian, and you look at one believe in abortion and the other one is just so full of hate. It's just, which one represents God? Neither.
Neither one.
Neither. Yeah, neither one, you know. But see, this is how people look. They get mad at me when I say this, you know. Y'all might get mad at me when I say this too, but the devil couldn't have done what he's doing without infiltrating the church. He had to infiltrate the church to do what he's doing now. He could not have done it without infiltrating the church.
Look,
people get mad when I say that. I said, y'all read the word. God told you that's what he was going to do. It's in the word.
Exactly.
Mr. Jennison Franklin said this in his book called Fasting. He said, too many Christians find that they are malnourished in the word, but well-fed on the world, and they live defeated lives as a result. In the introduction to this section, I mentioned how Eve saw that the fruit was good for food. God's word to Adam and Eve was, in the day that you eat of it, you better hear me, somebody, in the day that you eat of the world, come on, it said you will surely die. And you get Christians eating of the world daily in the information they get online, information they get on television, information they get that thrives in their flesh, and they love it. And but you know what he said? They have a form of godliness, denying the power there. There's no power in their lives. But they believe because they go to church on Sunday. And they may go to church on Wednesday, but they have developed a form of godliness, and they're malnourished because they don't study the word and they don't get next to God every day and get to know who he is. And that's the problem. He said, you know, yet Eve acted on the wisdom of the world that was spoken by the serpent instead of walking away in faith that God's word was true. In contrast, as Jesus fasted in the desert, he was tempted by the same voice, that serpent that had so cunningly whispered to Eve. Yet Jesus responded, what? Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's Matthew 4:4. Anybody want to go look? And what had Jesus heard just before beginning that time of fasting, guys? And lo, a voice of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in Matthew 3:17. The word of God sustained him through 40 days and 40 nights without food. How I wish the body of Christ today has that same kind of hunger for God's word. They would get in his presence. They would get in his presence and receive an overwhelming presence of God in their own life, an overwhelming power that shows them how to resist the temptations. It shows them when they see someone on television, that's the vexation of spirit begins to happen. I haven't heard that word vexation of spirit in a long time. Get that down and find out what that means. It's something that happens not in your flesh, not in your brain, but something happens in your spirit that you begin to resist what you're seeing, and you want to turn it off because it's so against the spirit of God on the inside of you. We don't use that word enmity that much. And, you know, the lust of the spirit, it's an enmity. The love of the world is enmity against God. It's an enemy.
Enmity with God.
And so we're nourishing an enemy within us. As Christians, as you put it, Christians, we're nourishing an enmity, an enemy in our own body, soul, and spirit. And I'm going to let y'all take it from there.
I looked it up, the definition of malnourished. Mm-hmm. It's an adjective.
Come on in.
Ravenous, empty, hollow, starving, starved, famished, dying from hunger. So then I went and I looked up empty, adjective, containing nothing, not filled or occupied.
Wow.
So just from this word by itself and from the word empty, there's so many, I'm not just going to say Christians, people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We carry two.
Mm-hmm.
We carry two. We're spirit and we're carnal.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are walking around with nothing, AKA not plugged into, as I say, the Matrix. Okay.
I got you.
People who are walking around spiritually dead, that don't have, and that's not feeding themselves with the word, that's not yearning for the relationship with God, they are dead because they're letting the world take over. So as long as the world has taken over, that means Satan has taken over. And he's already killing you slowly. So when he gets you and you are physically dead, your spirit man is not going to go where you would want it to go. Because you never fed it. God doesn't know that spirit because it was never connected to him. So people are walking around malnourished. But when I say get plugged in, when you plug in, as you guys have seen The Matrix, when if you've seen The Matrix, you notice that in that ship, the Nebuchadnezzar, was plugged in, you were able to see. In spirit. But if we get plugged into the spirit, if we get plugged in with, and have this relationship with the Father, don't they know you'd be able to fight? We are truly a powerful people. We are powerful.
Yes.
Everything that comes out of our mouth, if we put it out there in a negative way, it's going to come back negative. If you put it out there in a positive way, it's going to come back positive. But if you feed yourself with the Holy Spirit, you feed yourself with the Word of God, you allow God to come in. You allow that relationship to build. Oh, we'd be so full that we can't eat.
Why don't you guys tell somebody?
Let me ask Minister Tamika here one question because she hit on a point. Well, she really hit on a point, and my spirit just jumped when she said when she kept talking about malnutrition, because this is a race, and this is a race, and if you got somebody that's malnutrition versus, and this is a race, versus a man that's been eating well, energy is at a high level, and they blow the whistle and say go. Who's going to win that race?
The man that's eating well?
The man that's eating well. The man that's eating well,
that's That's right. He's not going to finish. He's going to fall when you say go. That's that tortoise and that hare. That tortoise, yep. that hare is taken off, but that tortoise is still right there in the same spot where you left it. And that's how we are as Christians. If you are not feeding yourself with the Word of God, if you are not moving in God and using your
some people
heart.
Some people don't understand when you say feeding yourself the Word. What do you mean by that for the non-Christian or the person that's like, what do you mean feed yourself? Tell them what you mean by that.
Getting into the presence of the Lord. Getting into the presence of the Lord. Getting around people that have a relationship with God. Picking up the Bible, even if it means reading one scripture a day. And then we're so high in technology now. You can Google a scripture, or you can go to YouTube and just hear something from God. Just hear a word, because when you find it, and you may hear the tip of it, it was actually meant for you. If you don't know God, if you are yearning for that relationship with Him, and if you know that right now you might not even have the yearn, but you're listening to this conversation and you're listening to this broadcast, if you just say, just right where you are, just say, Lord, I desire a relationship with you. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Because if you know that your life is not going the way that you would like it to, and you know that everything just seems is like it just is failure after failure after failure, and you're not understanding why. But if you call on Him, He's right there. He's just waiting for you. So if you just say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. I believe that you died for me. I desire a relationship with you. He's going to open His arms and welcome you into His fold and welcome you into His heart. And you are going to feel so overwhelmed with love that the only thing you're going to be doing is walking out and smiling, because God has already taken control. But get with like-minded and like-spirited people that will be able to pour into you and to help keep you fed. Because they talk about malnourished children in Africa. They talk about malnourished children in all these third world countries. But we're malnourished here in the spirit. We're malnourished here.
Just continue sowing into the place where we need to be sown.
Exactly.
We need to understand
Jesus'
words. We need to understand Jesus' words when He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. You can look up that in Mark 13 and 31. But somebody said, well, what does that mean to me? That means what he was talking about, feed yourself, is mean open up the Bible. And there's a spiritual hunger you have on the inside of you that was given you from birth, from I think it was inception. You have a spiritual hunger to know God. Just like the Christians that are malnourished, they forgot about their spiritual nourishment. They forgot they need to spend time with God every day. What did young David possess in his natural realm that made him believe? Now, we talk about David. He's the one that killed Goliath. But what did he possess? What did he have in his natural realm that made him believe he would be successful against the giant Philistine? Nothing. He was small. He was young. So it doesn't matter how young you are, right? He was not yet a soldier. He could even fit the armor they were trying to put on. It's just like you ever put on your dad's hat and it just sunk down over your face. So imagine putting on a whole armor and it just didn't fit because he was too young. He was, you know, I think he was redly, really skinny. Wasn't fit for a soldier yet. He was too little. Merely a keeper of the sheep. And look at the word that they put in front of it. Merely. That's what the world labeled. He's just merely a keeper of the sheep. Yet he walked with God. God gave him the battle plans to beat a bear, to beat a lion.
Isn't that some?
And to keep all those sheep in the forest from being killed and ravished by wolves and everything out there. He learned how to take care of them when they got infection around them. You know, he would anoint them across their brow
mm-hmm.
so that infection wouldn't get infected, even more infected, and get maggots in it would eat them out and disease them.
Mm-hmm.
So God taught this young boy how to take care of sheep. And I wish our pastors was like that today.
Yeah.
Through the wilderness of the world that things are thrown at us. And I'm talking to us pastors and us
yes.
Christians today. When things are thrown at us, we need a shepherd that guides us. Somebody, okay, he got some stuff in him from the TV said, okay, let me get the word out and get the oil over him. So that stuff won't get in his mind and he get diseased and he get all this infection of humanity in him. And it's hard to get it out once you're diseased. That enmity, when it's in, it's in. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the heart of that shepherd in him. Merely, they said, a keeper of sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he walked with God. He knew God. And he sought after God. And his faith was all he needed to know that Goliath would fall before him, just as the lion and the bear had fallen. Samuel, that's 1 Samuel 17 chapter, the 34th and 35th verse. If you want to go back and do some searching before then, you'll see how he was armored against Goliath way before Goliath came on the scene. God had David in his mind. Because David walked with it. David talked with
mm-hmm.
it. Did David agree all the time? No, but he learned to agree. Do we agree all the time with what God says when we want something? God said, no, that's not for you. Do we get angry? So, yeah, but just keep walking with him. He'll show you why. When you see that if you would have walked that way, you would have died or you would have got, you know, contaminated or something would have happened. We learn how to trust him when we walk with him. Remember that song, and
mm-hmm.
he walks with me and he talks
mm-hmm.
with me and he tells me I am his own. Do you know how that feels? And he tells you, hey, you're mine.
Amen.
And the joy
yes,
we share as we tarry there. And my sister's witness, I can sing like this a couple of days ago. None other has ever known. Let me get my gospel roots on that one. No.
Amen.
You know, it's
Amen.
A beautiful thing.
Hey, preacher.
Yes, preacher. Yes, sir.
You was talking about, you know, both of you guys been talking about why people really should know the word for themselves. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 11, 14, and 15. This is why you
mm-hmm.
need to read the Bible and know for yourself. Again,
yes.
2 Corinthians 11, 14, and 15. And no
mm-hmm.
marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore,
come on.
It is
yep.
no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness.
Wow.
Somebody tried to call right here when
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to
see. Yep, yep. Right in the midst of it.
Yeah, like this.
That's
see.
How it works.
Well, I got to let him hang up. So I can get, cause I want to read it verbatim. You know, I know what it says, but I want to read it verbatim. And it says, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness,
mm-hmm.
and whose end shall be according to their works. So basically what that's saying is there are some people in that pulpit that's working for Satan. And if you don't know
yes.
your word,
yes.
you're going to get sucked in. There's a religion, and I don't know how they get any believers, but
mm-hmm.
They are preaching that there's only going to be 144,000 of them going to heaven, and it's their religion. It's their religion.
You better preach.
It's 3 million of them now. How is anybody still joining this religion? I mean, read your Bible.
People don't read
right
for
there
themselves.
Right there in front of everybody. They,
yep.
Huh?
No.
Yep. They don't read for themselves. They,
yeah.
they believe what is shared with them. And now that
right.
that prophecy
yeah.
turned in on itself to prove it's a false prophecy. I
want
to share
false.
This with you before we get out of here. I'm gonna leave you, this is going to follow up your scripture. This was written by W.A. Criswell, The Scarlet Thread Through the Bible. He said this, then sometime in that beginning, in the ages of the ages past, sometime before time was, there came into the heart of Lucifer, the son of the morning, that marvelous,
mm-hmm.
He was that marvelous
mm-hmm.
covering cherub in the celestial world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we talk about Christians, too. Christians, God's anointed them. They are very anointed. They're mm-hmm. beautiful people in God. But something can happen. So I'm going to keep going. Can I keep going? Can I read this? I'm going to let y'all just run with this one. It says that marvelous covering showed up in the celestial world that the Bible called, gathered him to something called sin. We read about him in the prophet Ezekiel. He's described like this. Thou fillest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden in the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship prepared in thee was perfect and beautiful. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I, says the Lord God, have set thee so. So God created them that way. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou wast created. But look at this as Christians now in this too. Till iniquity was found in you. Therefore I will cast thee out as profane. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness, and I will cast thee to the ground. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitudes of thine iniquities. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst. Now look at God saying, I will bring a fire right out of the midst of you, from you. The fire is going to come out of you. That's how awesome and terrible God is. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour you. God can use you to destroy you. when God can use an atheist to become a Christian, a Bible carrying anointed man of God, God will take that very thing and make you the cure. God can take that very thing, that your pride, and make you destroy yourself. Because he created, he's a God of wisdom. So you get on your high horse and in your pride and think, well, I'm an atheist, or I'm an agnostic, God is using me to build this big old giant church. Now I can start doing things my way. Oh, just go back to this scripture in Ezekiel, 28th chapter, the 12th to the 18th verse. There's another passage describing Lucifer as the son of the morning in Isaiah. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High, taking God's place. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. That's Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. Now I'm going to give that to y'all. Go ahead, preachers.
for me, that ties in to a lot. Vanity. That's where the vanity comes from. That's why we all go through, not we all, but a lot of people will go through a whole lot of effort to be, try to be as perfect, beautifully as they possibly can. And the Bible talks about vanity, and it talks about in the last days that men will be lovers of themselves, because that's how Satan was. You just read it right there. And what is the most popular things right now that we all do? Even myself, I catch myself doing it sometimes. Selfies. All this stuff. God knew all this stuff was going to happen. And the devil, that's how he deceives us with vision, what we see. God is trying to pull us in by faith, believing what you can't see.
Right.
Come on
and
in.
So those are the two biggest difference between the two, the dark and the light. Minister Tamika?
You're right. I mean, the word, I mean, if you look at this particular scripture in this passage of the beauty of Lucifer, that he was a guardian cherub. He was cherished, you know. Yeah. And with all that going to, he had the voice of voices. So, and all that, if you look at how the world is right now, in those exact same areas, you got plastic surgeons making more money to the point to where people are dying on the table because of vanity.
Yeah.
Then you got the singers. People who can't even sing, but that genre of music is like the number one. All those areas where it took over, consumed him, is taking over the world. And you're right. It's not about division. It's not about the carnal eye, what we mm-hmm. see in front of us. It's about the spiritual eye, what
mm-hmm.
we cannot see. But because
right.
of
mm-hmm.
the faith, and we believe in it, and we put that belief, and then we put that praise on it, then those doors open, and it becomes tangible.
Yes.
But we have little Mr. Lucifer with his pretty self
yeah.
coming in, and now everybody, and if you look at it, everybody's starting to look the same.
Yep.
Literally,
yeah.
if you're looking at the women in the industry, they're all looking the same. They're all talking the same. They're all it's almost a cookie cutter system. But you got to mm-hmm. look at this in the spirit to see what's happening in the carnal. And those ones that are
yes.
constantly in the carnal have had over 10 to 20 different surgeries that are now showing up on the show botched because everything is so messed up, but because they still mm-hmm. vanity. It goes
yes.
back to it.
Yeah.
So me as a female, I'm looking at it as you won't catch me there. Okay? God gave me what I have, and I'm very proud.
That's right.
I'll tweak it for health reasons. But other
mm-hmm.
than that, I'm going to leave it alone. I'm happy
yeah.
with who I am, and I know that I walk by faith and not
yeah.
by sight. That I move in belief, I move in the I am, I move in
mm-hmm.
him, and he's going to supply all my needs as long as I'm doing what he needs me to do for the kingdom.
Yes.
But people are
that's
too
right.
wrapped up in the carnal,
mm-hmm.
and that's why they're so malnourished.
Right.
Wow. 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 I see that. I see that.
I think, Terry, you and I discussed this on the show before. When you look at the face of the gospel artists and even some worship artists out there, how their attire has changed to match the world when they go to big events, big
mm-hmm.
gospel
mm-hmm.
events, and how they have
yes.
changed the way they look from holiness to dress unseemingly like the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
oh,
I've
yeah.
seen one where, and I apologize if I offend anyone, where their cleavage was showing or their when they wear the tight pants and something else shows.
Yes.
What in the world?
Yes.
And that's it.
Yeah,
what
I mean.
In the world.
Nothing is being hid. Nothing's being hid. Women are pretty much showing what they got or what they bought.
And the men, too.
Mm-hmm.
The man, too. The man even worse. They spray painting on beards. They spray painting their hair.
Mm. Yep.
The men, too.
Yeah.
So we got to be careful. These are
the
last and evil days.
Yeah.
These are the, you know, somebody, what Pastor said, these are the last of the last days. We're in the last days, but we're in the last of the last
yeah.
days. And people are calling
mm-hmm.
right, wrong. They're calling good, evil.
Yep.
Yeah, all the things that God said would be happening, and we're still seeing it. But isn't that funny about the scale that's on our eyes that we can't see what's around us? But those that see
yeah.
the unseen see it. Those that walk in the realm of the Holy
mm-hmm.
Spirit see it. Go ahead, brother.
Mm-hmm.
That
you
is
gotta
why
walk in the Spirit.
We're doing
mm-hmm.
what we're doing, and why God has put it on my heart to really do prophecy, because what. The first thing you learn when you start doing prophecy, God has his favorite numbers. And
mm-hmm.
one of
yeah.
his numbers, his favorite number is seven.
Mm-hmm.
And his favorite
mm-hmm.
number is seven for a real good reason. That is
yeah.
his number of completion. He's done with it. They can preach the world is a million years, billions of years, all they want to. All that's
mm-hmm.
demonic. The world is
mm-hmm.
around 6,000 years old. It's
mm-hmm.
it's proven, and
mm-hmm.
again, it's just as bad as these people. The 144,000 is just mm-hmm. as bad, because if you just look at it, our whole calendar is based on Jesus, B.C. before Christ, A.D.
Mm-hmm.
Anno Domino, which is mean the year of our Lord. Our whole calendar is based on Jesus, the Bible,
mm-hmm.
everything.
Yes.
If people open
yes.
up their spiritual eyes and look at this thing, and
mm-hmm.
according, and God does everything in seven. It took him 6 days to create the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. And I, from my understanding of what I'm learning on prophecy right now, is he's allowing this world to live about 6,000 years, and the last 1,000 years is going to be a 1,000 years of peace on earth with Jesus in his millennial reign. We are so close. Man, people think I'm crazy. I don't think we got 20 years left. I really don't. If you got to go watch I just put it on YouTube, the video that I did on Facebook Live Saturday. I just put it out there. I'm trying to prove to people that it's almost, if you are a Bible believer and your house ain't in order, it's time to get it in order so you don't hear the famous "Depart from me, I know you not" speech.
Right.
If we get close to the end, but we
don't
want to
hear that speech
because this is our network. But I want to say something quoted from Sonia Thompson's book. Sonia L. Thompson is called the name of her book is called "Glory Walkers Reveal." But on page 59, she starts talking like this, and it's very true. We like to quote Isaiah 54:17 when troubles rise against us. Because you know, we were the first one to say, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." But if the truth be told, there were a whole lot of formed weapons prospering against Christians who were quoting this very scripture. Was God playing a trick on us here or what? Now, let me let you in on a little secret, she says. This is only true of the abider, because he is sitting in God's face 24 hours per day. There is no way God is going to let anything or anyone sneak up on you when your only desire is being with him. Weapons are prospering against our regular, can I put quotes around regular, and Christians, or Christian folk, because they don't have time to spend with him or read his word or listen for his instruction. But they do have time to get dressed up and go to the building we mistakenly call the church, and allow themselves to believe this is the essence of abiding. The one who relies on moving from one position in the physical to another to see, hear, and experience God is merely a visitor. Can I say that again? They're just a visitor. But he who dwells, come on, somebody. He who dwells, come on. Can I say it again? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. That's that word again, abide, under the shadow of the Almighty. I think I saw that word dwell again, didn't I? And if you spend time reading this text in full, she writes, you will quickly notice the protections afforded to the abider, not the visitor. The abider, the one that dwells. Notice the boldness of the abider. He decrees and declares, "I will save the Lord." He is, and God responds, because he has set his love on him. In the 14th verse, it's because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, and I will set him on high because he has known my name. 15th verse says, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. 16th verse, last one, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And these promises above are only for the Christians who make the presence of God a permanent place of residence. Amen and amen. I'm gonna leave that with y'all. Y'all tear that one up.
Wow. That is so true. That is so true. And like a whole lot of other things that we Christians just be quoting, not understanding that if you're not in good standing with God and you don't have your relationship, your personal relationship with God, you are not under protection. You are not under protection.
That's right.
That's why the test comes so often. You get more than the other person, and you take that and you combine it with Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10 through 16 or 17, when it talks about the full armor of God. It's you got to have the armor on so the fiery darts don't work. If you don't have the armor on, the fiery darts are getting through. And if you got your armor on, the only offensive weapon, see, all the armor, all that defense, so the enemy can't get to you. The only offensive weapon you have is the sword, which is the word of God. And that's what Jesus, like, we're going back to what you said, that's what Jesus used in the desert against the enemy, and that's what he should have used in the garden. That's all we got. We can keep quoting that stuff all day long, and And you know what? I'm going to post this tomorrow on Facebook. Y'all going to see it. People got a habit. People got a habit of every year, at the beginning of the year, going on this corporate church 21-day fast. And then they come out of it the same way they went into it, and they don't understand why.
Yeah.
Well, because you still got one foot in the world while you sitting here on your fast. See, all you really doing is doing a diet. You ain't fasting nothing. You just went on a 21-day diet. They lost some weight if that's what you were trying to do. But if you want to really see the power of God at work in your fast, get out of the world for those 20 days or 10 days or 2 days, whatever you in your mind, get out of the world. Shut down that devil box called the TV. Get out of that secular music and just concentrate on the word of God for 2 days or 3 days. In 21 days, you're going to be a completely different person if you do it that long.
Yeah.
So you
got talking to the TV.
That is so good.
You hear that, Tamika? God is speaking prophetically to people that are in that same situation, and God's trying to bring them out. And some, you know, the very ones that say, "Oh, you don't even know about it. You can't tell me what to do. You ain't all this, and you ain't no preacher. You ain't no pastor." You know what, God, if God could use a mule to tell Balaam, "Hey, don't you see that sword?"
Sure did.
That's right.
He can use
sure
me.
Did.
That's right.
That's
but at the end of the day, when they're something. Getting ready to go through, when they're going through something. When they're going through something, who do they call them? They don't call them Satan.
That's right.
Who do they call them? First thing they call is Jesus. Oh, Lord, help me. Is that's when you got, but you wait until the last minute to do it. And even though our God is such not a selfish God, the fact that you called on him, he's going to help you. But when you get that help, don't go back to your old ways. Because right now, just like Minister Terry said, we are most definitely living in the last of the last days. This is it. This is it. So much has happened that we constantly see on a daily that if you are not paying attention now, it's going to be too late. If you're not paying attention now, when the rapture comes, don't think you're going to rise up in it.
Come on, you better talk about it.
You are waiting. You are waiting. What is there to wait on? See, right now, and this is what I see in the spirit realm. This is what I'm seeing even in the carnal because it's happening this smack in my face. God is allowing supernatural miracles to happen this smack in front of us.
Yep.
He is showing us he's here. He's coming back. Real soon. He wants his people. He wants a relationship with his people so bad that he has chosen a few of us to make this happen. He has chosen a few of us to go forth to spread this word. He's chosen and everything, and if y'all notice it, and everything right now, he's using radio and television to do it.
That's right. Wow. That's
because
people,
he has to reach nations.
That's right.
Fast.
That's right.
Our Father.
Thinking not strange, my brothers, of how fast these doors are opening. He's chosen us.
Yep.
And he's choosing you, broadcast listeners that are listening to this broadcast. If you are feeling that pull. That God is pulling on you, he is pulling on you for a reason. He is tugging at you for a reason. If you have not answered, I feel it in my spirit that somebody is being tugged really hard right now by God. And you don't know whether to say yes or no. But God is telling you, you need to say yes. Because, right now in the name of Jesus, you are going to be the reason why your family come out.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Wow.
You say
yes.
That's... You are going to be the reason why your family says yes. He's using you. This is a young man. He's using you.
Go ahead. Yes.
You need to say yes to God before it's too late.
Say yes.
He's saying
say
back
yes.
to you in his spirit, well, I don't know how to do that. He's saying, I can feel his heart. I want that, but I don't know how to do that. And every time, it just never works. Go on back in your spirit and get that and speak to him.
Yes.
He said, I don't know how to do it.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
come on.
Just say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Go ahead.
I am your son.
Mm.
I want a relationship with you.
There you go.
You see the things that's happening with your family. Tell him you need that relationship with him to forgive you for your sins. Just say it with me right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I come before your throne in grace in your son, Jesus' name. Lord, right now I'm asking you that you forgive me for my sins. But I'm asking you to save me. I'm asking you to sanctify me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. To say, Father, I believe that your son died and rose on the third day for me. And I believe that right now I'm carrying your love. I'm carrying your heart and that I am a child of God. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, and amen. And you love on him and love on him. And then love on him.
Mm.
We're here for you. CFN is here for you. I know that Michael, you'll give our number for them to be able to call in.
Yeah, go ahead.
But we are
here.
If
you want to call in right now, let me give them a number because somebody might want to call in to touch on what we just said, or that person might want to call in. We're here, and this is the time. Now, if you call after today, after we get off the air, we won't be live, but I'll give you a number after that. But if you want to call in right now, the number is 657-383-0437. I'm giving it to you again if you're writing it down. 657. This is your lifeline. Area code is 657-383-0437. I give it to you again. 657. I'm waiting on you. I see you writing it down. 383-0437. If you call after this show and you just happen to get to this show and you listened all the way through to this point, let me give you another number, 469-298-8387. Leave a message there. That's the place that's my Google phone, and we will get with you. All three of us will get on a call with you and walk you through how you can start living a victorious life. God has brought you through a vortex tonight spiritually. We talk about a spiritual matrix that you just entered into. And stop believing everything you hear on television. Question everything that you hear there, except if it's something God gives you in the spirit. Now, you can turn to CFN. We'll give you the truth.
Yes.
Turn to CFN radio. We'll give you the truth. There's some great things about to befall you for praying that's about to become a part of your life as a result of you praying that prayer. And we're going to prepare you for everything. Because you can't believe everything out there at face value. That's why the Bible says walk in the spirit so you won't fulfill the lust of your own flesh. Because the devil's got some stuff out there that's in Christian churches too that are just get you into more bondage if you're not careful.
Yes, Lord.
So we're saying these things to you, the people that we're talking to right now. Your eyes have been opened. Don't let the devil close your eyes and put the scales back up on your eyes. The scales have been lifted off. Through everything that you've heard, we've shared some things with you that's a common thread throughout the Bible. You keep seeking for that truth, not looking for something that's going to, you know, tickle your ears or tickle your fancy or get you back into your flesh again. God has brought you out, and he truly set you free. Be not entangled again in that bondage of sin and debauchery. We know where you've been. We've been there. And we don't, you know what? The world don't have any heaven or hell to put you in, but the devil does. He can tease you with people. He can lead you to people that will tantalize you back into bondage. But stay around people that causes the fire of God to come upon your life like you did, like it happened tonight in that prayer. God has some things he want to tell you.
Yeah.
And for Tamika and Terry and myself, this is one of the prayers I'm praying. It's part of the lead like Jesus. Lord, you have entrusted us with places of influence on television and radio. Let us honor you with this. Let me learn how to serve you and treat everyone with respect, because somebody doesn't know you, that don't make me lord myself or my message over them. because your message was to serve and to serve in a way when people dislike us and serve in a way when people disagree with us. But we stand as a dissonance to some until they fall to their knees and say, yeah, that is true. I can't deny it any longer. Jesus Christ is the way. He's the truth, and he is the life. And I want that truth, and I want that life. Jesus said, ask. Somebody needs to just ask. It's that simple. And
yes,
it will be given
God.
Unto you. Seek, and you will find him. Just knock, and the door will be open to you. That's all you have to do. It's a lot of simple things, a lot of simple truths that will lead you to God. A lot of people make you think you have to carry packs of what they call it. They call those things you have to carry on their backs. You have to, I forgot what they're called, but they, because that's going to happen because they sinned so bad. No, Jesus won't let you carry any penances on your back because he carried your sin for you. He cares for you, and he died for you. He carried all that stuff for you. You don't have to carry it anymore. If you prayed that prayer, Lord, forgive me, come into my heart, he's sitting up on the throne of your heart right now. You don't have to do anything else but that. He loves you just the way you are. He loves you for the sin you just came out of. He knows he's not going to come back and say, oh, you did this. He's never done that to me. Now, in my own mind, I've done it to myself, and I have to cast that condemnation now. God never brings condemnation or reminds you of what you did. All he gives you is love. All he gives you is hope. And he has an expected end for you, a future for you that you would have never expected. And that's our testimony. We didn't know we could walk in this. We didn't know that we experienced this. We didn't know the true freedom that God gave us. He said, he whom the Son sets free, really free. No strings attached.
Amen.
Free. Somebody ought to say that, free. And that's who he gave. Free. That's what he gave to. You know that commercial? Free. It's
free, free,
commercial.
Free.
It's all free.
I just want to be so close. I want to be so close to Jesus. If they're looking for him, they're gonna see me too.
Come on.
That's how close I want to be.
Women used to say that prayer. What's that prayer women used to pray? If a man's going to find me, he's going to find Jesus first. I forgot what the saying was. To find me, you got to find Jesus. What was it? You know what I'm talking about, Tamika? What was that saying?
I think. If you find Jesus, you'll find me. Or it's
something like that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, my cousin uses that with his wife. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I can't think of it, but I know what you're talking about. Okay, somebody
Go ahead.
Why are you thinking about that? Listen to this. You know, because I'm in the news. I'm in this thing deep right now, and this is something that you can actually Google. Now, you know, eventually the Antichrist is coming, and he's coming to a one world, one religion world. And when I hear things like this, this really lets me know that this thing is getting ready to end up kind of fast. Did you know the Nation of Islam is talking to Scientologists so they can come work together?
Ooh.
Nation of Islam and Scientologists are talking and meeting and having meetings. And some of your well-known pastors are now saying that they're okay with homosexuality. That is, it's okay. If you don't believe this thing is getting ready to be straightened out soon, all I could tell you, better make sure your ears is clean. Well, it ain't going to have to be that clean because you're going to hear that. Some people are going to hear the trumpet, and some people are just going to hear a loud noise. They ain't going to know what it is until people start disappearing around them. You know, so.
Here's what's going on too. In Luke, the 22nd chapter, 31, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you as wheat.
Yep. As wheat. That's what it says.
He's a legalist. He knows legally what he has a right to. And sometimes through ignorance, he takes the right. on people, and they don't know how to, that they can just totally walk out. You know, I remember that scenario, Terry, and I think Tamika, I shared with you. You put a fly in a glass jar, put some top on it, and stick holes through it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll try to get out of that thing for a long time, and as soon as they settle themselves in, they in. That's people. You take that cap off, he ain't coming out. He's been conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
And people are conditioned sometimes through legalism. And that's why Satan has to come to me. He'll try to come to God and say, hey, can I get Terry? Because, you know, I bet if I do this, he'll serve me. I bet if I do this, he'll curse you to your face.
Mm-hmm.
Like he did Job.
Yep. But I have prayed for you, Jesus said, that your faith may not fail. And you, once you have turned again, so that means change your mind, change your life. You know that song I told you I wrote? Change your mind, your life will change. Somebody has fallen into sin again because you allowed Satan to sift you from the truth. This is a direct word for you. Don't miss it. But God says,
man, I should be recording this.
You turned again. Yeah. He said, when you turned again, strengthen your brothers because they're going through the same stuff.
I wish I had been taping this conversation because, you know, the test isn't to show God who you are. The test is to show you who you are. And God is pulling for us to pass this test. He already knows what we're going to do, but he wants us to know either how short we are or to do what you just said, to come out of that test. And say I got beat up, Lord, but I still trust and believe who you are. That's all he wants to hear.
Hey, preacher, some of them fall. Some of them fall.
Yeah,
they don't get
they
up.
Fall.
He said, but when you turn to
get
up, when you hear this message that these three preachers are talking about on this radio show, get up and turn again.
Up.
Mm-hmm. And then you go straight to the other person.
You ain't even got to start over. Just get up and just keep going.
Just get up. That's it. Get up. Remember that song Commission had a long time ago? Get back up in the saddle.
Yeah.
But I'm falling seven times. You might fall again. But get up. Get back in the saddle.
Yeah.
He told that lady, get up. Your sins have been forgiven. Because she pressed. Somebody just need to press through you're going through right now. You need to push. You're in a pushing phase of your ministry. You're in a pushing phase of your book. You're in a pushing phase of that TV script you're writing, and that's going to revolutionize this world. That's why the devil's fighting you so hard. That's why the devil fought you hard, Terry.
I tell you what, Minister Johnson, if the devil got a most wanted list, I'm in the top five.
Okay.
Glory, glory, glory.
I'm in touch because I tell you, that's all that's on my mind. Just defeat. I've already defeated him. I just want to show other people. You ain't got to give him your power. He don't have no power over you unless you legally give it to him. He has no power over nobody. And then all you got to do is tell God you want your power back, and you got it back. And he got to start all
that's
over.
That's it. And stay out of pride. That's another thing. God told me over and over again. That's the thing with having turned his head away when you get up in pride. So God has blessed some of the men of God, and they get up in pride.
Yeah.
Just up in pride.
This world is just so attractive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This world is so attractive to Christians, and it's not supposed to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
Until the end. That's why I'm just so convinced. I'm so convinced it's not supposed to be this way till the end. Satan has systematically broken down generation by generation by generation. Yeah. Man, people ain't even scared of God no more. Millennials ain't even going to church anymore. I mean, so.
Right.
And what the word say? What the Bible say? God says that he's not going to let that go on forever. He said because if he did, everybody will be lost.
Yep. The church is the only building God will resurrect his church and revive us.
Yeah. He's coming. He said he's coming to get his church. He said because if he don't come and get his church and let it go on like this, eventually the whole world is going to be lost. And he said he's not going to let that happen. Now we've got a whole generation of people that don't go to church and they half believe anything in the Bible. And if it's not for a small groups like us going out and like John screaming in the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
that's what we got to do.
Yeah.
And preacher, this is what Peter said to Jesus in the 33rd verse of that same Luke 22. He said to him, "Lord, with you I'm ready to go both to prison and to death." And Jesus said,
mm-hmm.
"Hey, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will crow today until you have denied three times that you know me." So that's
mm-hmm.
just a piece of pride saying what you're going to think that you're going to do and what you're going to do. I'm not saying not to speak those things and be not as they are, but don't get lifted up in yourself. Don't let yourself. See, that's what happened to Satan. It's okay to boast about that, you know, to speak those things that be not as they were, but when you say, "Hey, I'm going all the way with you, Jesus," be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sure,
no, you don't deny
me. Yep. And when he woke up at that very hour, he heard that cock crow, and he realized what he'd done. But he repented. Now, that's not to get anybody feeling down, because I never leave anybody in the gutter feeling. I'm just saying, don't allow the devil to puff you up in your mind to think you're better than you are. Humble yourself.
Amen.
Let God use you. And also serve with a servant's heart. Be humble when God does great things to you. Don't get yourself beaten on your chest as Satan did, because he carried a third of the heavens with him, because they wouldn't search it out for themselves to see what was happening. And they were right there in a coat of glory. They were right there in heaven. It should have been better.
Amen.
Right there. So one thing that God always tell me, humble yourself. Stop. Don't lie. And if you lie, repent. So you won't be a liar, because he said a liar won't tell you in my sight.
That's all you got to do.
Just repent.
That's all you got to do. That's how you got to, you know, a lot of us give the gay community a lot of grief about not going to heaven, but in Revelation there's a whole lot of other people that's not going to inherit either, and one of those are liars. What you just said.
That's right.
So
that's right.
If you got that, and that's a spirit that people don't even understand. That's just an evil spirit. You got to pray that thing off of you, because some people we've all met them. They just lie for no reason.
And can we talk about that?
I got it in my family.
Oh, yeah.
Can we talk about that witchcraft?
Yeah.
Witchcraft. All over the church. Using the word.
And then they begin to, you know, they begin to believe it. You know, they live it so much that, you know, they begin to believe it. And then all of a sudden that lie becomes the truth, you know. Oh, yeah. You know, that's why I say your words are power. So you have to watch what you say. Because even when a liar puts a word out there, "Oh, yeah, you know, I'm sorry, I couldn't make it to work today. You know, I was sick and in the hospital." Well, okay.
You better preach.
Guess what's getting ready to happen? You're going to be sick and in the hospital. And then you're going to be like, "How did I get here?" Well, Matt, hello.
You said it.
You spoke it. And that's, you know, that's what I'm saying. We have to watch everything now, because God is allowing us, that he has chosen for a time such as this, to see supernaturally dead smack in front of us the supernatural miracles and wonders and of how he's moving. And not only in our lives, but he's allowing us, he's giving us the tools, because he's literally brought all of us together over this past year.
And we got 90 seconds. We got 90 seconds left. I want to touch on this witchcraft in the church. I was experiencing it a couple of places I went, and these people have been versed in the word, but they start using the anointing on their lives. They start lying to people and getting their money. Okay? Or using influence to get more people to come so they can get more money, so they can heap those riches upon themselves. Watch out for the witchcraft that's out there. 60 seconds left. Anybody else want to address anything before we out of here? 60 seconds.
Yeah. While you're talking about witchcraft, Tom Brady's wife admitted that she's a witch, and that's not even a big story today.
Wow, it sure isn't. It should be a big story, shouldn't it? I saw that.
It should be a big story. The Christian community should have... I mean, been in uproar about this, you know.
Whoa. She, I didn't even hear that.
Yes, she said that she
uses a spell to get to heaven with. Yep.
That's how he wins.
Yep. It's out there. Just Google it. It's out there. And you can Google what the truth is and Google the stories that's out there about people using witchcraft. Also using some of them, when they say God, they mean the God, Babylonian God. So when they get up at the war show and say that, hey, I believe that God got me here. They're talking about that Babylonian God. They're not talking about the God we serve. So be careful.
Amen. Amen.
All right. We've got 10 more seconds to go. We want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we're going to show you CFN radio, CFN television. We're out to make some changes in the lives of people that don't know Jesus. We'll talk to you real soon again. Stay tuned. We're going to do this again. Love you. God bless you. Pastor Terry and the anointed evangelist, Tamika, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you next time on the air.
Thank you for having us.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless you guys. Hallelujah. Just a second.
people throw in the towel. Some people choose to die. But I chose to live. And since he's given me this new life, I shall forever be made whole. Somebody go up in a praise.